I've been all across this country.
Hey guys, this is your friendly neighborhood ring announcer, Kyle Shaw. I want to thank you for tuning in again to Monday Night Shaw right here on Win Column Sports Network. We got a lot of great content up here on Win Column Sports Network. There's, of course, Monday Night Shaw. There's Total Nonstop Anarchy, Moment with Maniac, Sounds of Struggle, Conversation with Love, Over the Top Rope. I'm probably missing something else. Anyway, Win Column Sports Network, that's where you're at right now. Stay tuned here for all kinds of great stuff. In the interview today, it is Mr. Spectrum, the wealthy Asian man of influence from the Viking Rage. It's a hell of an interview, and I'm glad that you tuned in to enjoy it. Some stuff happened recently. I'm not going to talk about it here. I don't really feel like the need to talk about it. The only positive thing that anyone actually got out of it, pardon me, I get a little awkward sometimes. Anyway, the only real positive that came out of that whole nonsense, and, you know, to say it's a positive is probably arguable, is the reveal of the fact that, yeah, I am, in fact, the Canadian Goose, and I've had 13 wrestling matches. It's been a hell of a good time. It was fun. So, yeah, just like I say, I love wrestling. I love everybody over at RCW. Please always continue to support them. They put on a hell of a show and they work hard. All the boys are a fantastic group of guys. So please continue to support them. And yeah, continue to support Monday Night Shaw and wrestling in general out here in your community. You know, without each other, what do we got, right? Anyway, so yeah, we don't delve into the fact that I'm the Canadian Goose, because this podcast isn't about me, but it does come up, so that's why I just wanted to clear the air on that. It is probably, you know, I would like to talk about my experiences, at least the positive elements of it at some point, so we'll probably get around to that, but for the time being, enjoy this interview with Mr. Spectrum, a fantastic performer, the wealthy Asian man of influence for a very dangerous group of men, the Viking Rage in real Canadian wrestling. So enjoy the show. Win Column Sports Network ad coming at you. Then the interview will be up right after that. Thanks a lot. See you next week. Hello, folks, and welcome back to Monday Night Shaw. This is your friendly neighborhood ring announcer, Kyle Shaw here, and joining me at this time is the Viking Rage's wealthy Asian man of influence, Mr. Spectrum. Mr. Spectrum, how's it going today, bud?
Everything is good, Kyle. Pretty stoked, actually. My real shoot life, I got some really good news. I completed my comps from a massage therapy course. And that's a positive thing. I'm moving towards some real life positive stuff. So I'm pretty happy today. I'm elated. Thank you for having me on your show.
Hey, no problem, man. It's been a long time coming. How long have you been in RCW now?
I've been there for a year and a couple days now. It was cool. It's definitely a fun adventure. Definitely a cool ride. Get to meet some really cool people such as yourself and make some really good friends. Of course, with the boys from Viking Rage, you know, Vince Austin. If it wasn't for him, I wouldn't have gotten the push that I wanted. Well, actually, he put me over on your podcast, actually. So if it wasn't for a guy like Vince Austin, I wouldn't be around in the industry for much longer. I'm not sure if you remember who my first guy I managed was.
I sure do. The Black Cobra.
That's right. The Black Cobra, Marty. Awesome guy. I remember him showing me some of the things, and he did some funny ribs to me. Like I said, it's been really fun. I don't have much under my belt as far as it goes for
What did he what
this
did
industry.
sorry, what did he do to you? We can't just leave that on the table there. You said he put
Oh
some funny
man.
ribs. What are we talking about here? Examples, please.
Well, it's a total like obviously I'm not a young boy, but I'm wet behind the ears in the industry when I first started. And he kind of let me know like heel managers or heels in general shouldn't be out in the what's it called, like fraternizing with the fan base during intermission.
Oh,
And
okay.
you know how sometimes it's like the shows, they don't just run long, but you're there all day. You're there to set up the ring, get the chair set up. So you're there for a good chunk of the day, like for the whole afternoon to the whole evening until the show is underway to the end. And I was super hungry, and Marty, he went out during intermission. He came back with a hot dog and a beer. I was like, man, like you
The
told me we can't go
advantages
out
of
during
wearing a mask, eh?
it. Yeah, you thanks for blowing the story there, Shaw.
Oh, sorry.
So
Go ahead.
He, what's it called, told me to go out there after, and I walk out to a bunch of like ruckus drunken fans of fuck you Jackie Chan and go back home Jackie Chan. And I walked back, like no sooner than when the door opened when I walked out, I turned around, came back in, and Marty's cracking up, him and another guy, Dead Zoner, I
Okay.
guess they're buddies, and they were having a good laugh on my expense. So that was my first hazing. But oh yeah, okay, so to reiterate again, Marty had that luxury because he was able to walk out because he wears a mask.
Let's call him Cobra, just so that the people know who we're talking about.
All right, Black Cobra, if you want me to say it the way Spectrum would. It's Back Cobra, not Black Cobra.
So that's interesting that the fans were, I mean, let's be honest, that's pretty racist.
Oh yeah, but you know what though? In this case situation, it wasn't so. I mean, they were playing their part just like I would play my part. I don't get offended in that. I mean, we step into, people with masks and guys that are obviously Chinese or Asian, but they have a better vernacular than most actually Canadian-born. Canadians, let's just call for what it is. So that was kind of cool.
Yeah, so
Oftentimes I have, go ahead.
I was just gonna say, like, part of your like you play to it too, right? Like a little bit, like you put on a very thick stereotypical accent and like it's a part of your gimmick. So I mean, getting offended
Absolutely,
and I
absolutely.
mean it's kind of the I mean it's sort of the reaction you're looking for in some way.
Most definitely. I mean, the fact of the matter was I didn't really know what I wanted to come up with. However, the Mr. Spectrum gimmick is kind of like a bit of an homage to a couple of things. If you're interested, I can divulge that to you.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. Like who came up with the gimmick and what were the influences for it?
Well, what happened was how I first even got into RCW was a fluke chance situation, to be honest. I was at a karaoke, I was drinking beer by myself doing karaoke.
I've been there, brother.
And karaoke night, and Asian guys love karaoke. And one night I picked a song. My song didn't play, but I had a live mic, and I'm like, forget this, man. I'm gonna try this new 5-minute bit that I've been working on, because before I got into wrestling, I was doing stand-up comedy and still do it. And so I tried out some new material. Little did I know, active roster member of RCW was in the was also at the same place singing songs. And he's like, hey man, you're good. And I'm like, okay, thanks. And he gave me a ticket to the next event, which was the Abyss, where Abyss showed up as the special guest, and that was cool. He's like, just get yourself to the show, and I'll get you lined up with the promoter. And next thing you know, I watched the show. I was really impressed with the performers. Everybody really went all out. It was a great show. Got to meet Steven, better known as Steven Styles, or we call him Squiggy. And he's like, hey, why do I want this guy? And, you know, Jose Suervo was like, you want this guy. He's a comedian. He's funny. And Squiggs took all of 2 seconds. He's like, okay, come back next show and come up with a gimmick. So that was Mr. Spectrum. Mr. Spectrum is a bit of an homage to my late uncle Ken, which Ken addressed kind of like a mobster. And okay. a little bit of the accent, had the glasses and the leather jacket and stuff. And so I did it that way. And that's how Mr. Spectrum came about.
Do you have any like influences from wrestling or from the movies or anything like that?
Yeah, there's an actor that I always liked. The glasses in particular was from my favorite childhood Hong Kong movie actor, Chow Yun-fat. And he played this mobster called Mark, ironic, and or Ken. And he wore like these really cool John Lennon shades, and it kind of stuck with me. And I kind of grew it out into my own little thing and developed it. And so, yeah, Mr. Spectrum is still a work in progress and still evolving as a character.
What Chow Young Fat flick was that?
It was called Better Tomorrow. A Better Tomorrow.
Oh, okay. I have not seen that one.
Yeah, it's a Hong Kong one. You talk to any actual, like, older Chinese guy, and you say A Better Tomorrow, they know it, man. It was like a John Woo movie. it was amazing.
Okay. It's like the Terminator of China.
Well, no, it's kind of like a mobster flick.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't really. It was a shoot 'em up to a degree, but it was more like a mafia gangster type like based good, premise.
Goodfellas type thing.
Yeah.
Right on, right on. So you were with Marty for a while. And how did you like, Jesus, I'm the one that's like, oh, we should call him. Anyway, you were with Cobra for a long time, and how did you enjoy working with him?
Working with Black Cobra was amazing. I mean, oftentimes, as I would say to some of the vets, like Black Cobra or even a guy like Zach Mercury or Vince Austin also, you know, they forgot more about the industry than I have and will ever learn. It was really good to be able to listen to their advice and take their lead on certain things. It was really good that they taught me about, you know, how I should react in regards to my ring presence, because obviously as a manager and as a heel manager, I'm more like an enhancement piece. So, you know, they might be like the Ferrari, but I might be the mag wheels. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But people are still looking at the Ferrari.
They're the you know, so the I want
to something like that. Yeah. So I can kind of turn it up. And sometimes with especially in Black Cobra situation where his character, he couldn't speak. Right. He only spoke Japanese. So it really got the gimmick over that way, in the sense of, you know, okay, so he is a guy who speaks Japanese, doesn't speak English at all. So Mr. Spectrum kind of plays that interpreter role or whatever, you know. So it kind of really accentuated that in particular.
So what would you say is the most powerful piece of advice that you've been given from one of the veteran fellows?
Patience and don't screw up your timing. It's absolutely crucial about how you deliver your when you got the mic in particular. Get a good feel for the crowd. Know when to accentuate certain things, certain actions. though I'm not getting beat up, sometimes it doesn't hurt that I'm selling my opponent or his opponent's big moves. I mean, if he does like a suicide dive over the top onto my wrestler on the outside, and that's going to be like a major spot, we're going to sell it like, oh my goodness, you know, like a Joey Styles, right?
Yeah.
We want to amp up everything, not just what my guy does, but what his opponent does. And we can kind of get the crowd going. I also find that reverse psychology, you know, if the match might feel a little slow or a little flat, well, you know, if the other guy on the outside's like clapping, of course I'm going to spur on the audience by telling them to shut up, which is clearly what they're not going to do, which is exactly playing into our hands, which makes for a more entertaining match, right? So it's there's little subtle nuances to it that make it really fun to be a part of, you know. It's awesome.
Yeah, for sure. So eventually down the line, Cobra sustained an injury and decided to retire from pro wrestling for the time being. And then at that point, you you were kind of on your own for a show or two?
I was there for, yeah, probably about 3 or 4 shows with Marty. I mean, with Black Cobra. So, but it wasn't until after he got injured. That's what worried me, because I wasn't sure if I was going to have a job afterwards.
I hear you.
Yeah.
So then you, at that point when you were on your own, what was your, like, were you pitching new ideas to Squig, or was somebody else's idea for you to go with NBR at the time, or how did that relationship form?
I was scrambling, I'll be honest, because right after Black Cobra's knee, like, his knee's toast now, he's going to go through another surgery or something like that. But, like, when that happened, that was when I realized it's like, okay, I had my cup of coffee. I guess this is my time to step away. And it was fun while it lasted. And I got to another show, which was kind of cool. And I pitched to Squigs, well, at least let me kind of, until we can figure out what you want to do with me, let me be at the events as if I'm scouting for my next big ticket item. And it was cool because at that time, NVR now, no, or NVR, Newfoundland Viking Rage, which is now Viking Rage, with Vince Austin and the Saltwater Savage, Andrew Hawks. And Vince was always really nice to me in the locker room. And he actually kind of found some of my antics funny. He liked some of my promos that I'd be cutting. And it was on your podcast with NVR that he really sold Hawks on the idea of this character, Mr. Spectrum. And after Hawks saw a couple of my promos, he warmed up to it. And next thing you know, from having Black Cobra, I now had the, I was managing the tag team champions.
Of course, and then Gunnar, of course, as well.
Yeah, that guy's a, oh man, mountain of a man.
For sure, for sure.
You wouldn't know this by looking at him, but he's a teddy bear.
Well, I know him well. You know, there's two sides to every coin. I wouldn't want to, like, get to a point where he's angered to the point where he wants to cause me physical damage, because he could do that easily. Yeah. But it's easy.
I was standing behind him one day. Yeah. He farted. He knocked me over. I mean, it wasn't the smell. It's just the mere propulsion of it, you know?
He did.
All them pierogies and Ukrainian sausage, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And I'm sure lots of Viking mead, too.
Absolutely.
Okay, so you managed them for a long time, and is there any particular matches or anything, moments that stand out to you?
Well, I'm going to quote Arn Anderson, and I'm going to say, not that I'm one to toot our own horn, but toot, toot. Vince Austin, the Viking Lord, he has just recently captured the RCW Commonwealth Champion. It was a hard-fought battle, obviously, against the former champion, the universe, Zach Mercury. And during like that program, I'm this is where I'm gonna tip my hand to Merc. And you know what? Merc is such a giving guy. Like the things that, like, and when I say giving, I mean he's very gracious. You know, there was a couple of spots where he let me kind of like maybe choke him on the rope or something like that. He incorporated my role where I'd jump up onto the apron where I'd get slugged or something. But just the mere fact that, you know, a manager or a referee or a ring announcer, sometimes we're portrayed in a different light of, you know, we're not really part of the show. And this is where I got to actually be thankful or grateful towards guys such as Merc, you know. But that go without saying, though, like, obviously guys like Vince Austin that stuck their neck out and vouched for me, you know. But the opponents that we work with obviously make a big difference. So when everybody's all on the same page, it makes for good matches, entertaining shows.
Right on. So some of your best memories are your matches against, opposite of Merc then?
So far, because when Andrew Hawks left, we were kind of in a bit of a disarray with the group. I mean, we had Big Bruce with us,
right?
You know,
right. Yep.
talented guy. But it kind of took, like, my personal opinion on it was it kind of made the group a little more comical, and not that I have a problem with comedy, because that's what I do periodically, but it took away from kind of like, you know, the badass
situation.
Absolutely. Like, you look at a faction like Dirty Inc. in particular. Dirty Mike has a tight crew. Every member within his group look like they belong in it, but they all have like a certain affiliation that looks like they tie in. And for a little while, Viking Rage had that when there was just Gunnar, Vince Austin, and Andrew Hawks. And then when we got this new look with Big Bruce, that was a little different. Like I said, I'm not going to throw Bruce under the bus, because that guy takes monster bumps for a man of his stature, and he works. Like, so I just wanted to make that really clear. Big Bruce, man, he's got his heart is twice the size of his bod, you know?
Yeah.
Amazing dude.
He's a very dedicated performer, 100%, and skilled as well.
Yep.
So also in Viking Rage at this time now is the Profane Prophet Dante, who is not from Newfoundland, yourself not from Newfoundland. So I assume that's why you guys are no longer the Newfoundland Viking Rage. Probably also had something to do with Hawks' departure as well, eh?
That was something that I wasn't made aware of, in all honesty. However, it's still Viking Rage. I mean, it added a new dynamic. Having the Profane Prophet Dante, I don't know. I'm looking forward to doing more promos with him, because he is funny in his own way. He has a unique look that looks like it belongs to the group. He's still relatively new also, but you see a lot of promise, and he really adds something to the group. Like, I mean, really, it's gonna be fun having Dante there.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I enjoy about your presentation and the presentation of some other guys in RCW that do this sort of thing. I notice it a lot with guys like you, I was just going to call them NVR, and then I was going to be like VR, but no, Viking Rage. So, like, Viking Rage, Pride does a lot of promos. Guys like Merc does them from time to time and stuff. Metal and Jess, of course. Talk about the importance of that aspect of it, because, like, the aspect of, like, video content outside the show and how valuable that is to your not only just what we're putting on and the exposure, but, like, how valuable it is to your getting to play your character and whatnot.
Well, with it being indie wrestling in particular, and sometimes going from town to town, you know, like, obviously the Edmonton fans, some of them make their way out to Calgary, and the Calgary fans make it their way, make their way out to Edmonton. But it's really important for continuity, you know. They need to, some fans don't, some RCW fans aren't the ones that come on a regular basis, and those that are, they're already in the know, but those promos kind of help out with what's going on in between, or helps with what's going to lead up to, what to expect. So I honestly think that cutting a promo, especially in on the indie scene, definitely helps, so the newer fans or the fan base is still kept in the loop, right?
Yeah, I hear you. It's always been helpful to have that continuity, but I mean, just as like, it's just another opportunity for you to be in that skin and be that character. You know what I mean? Like, you don't get a whole lot of promo time in the ring. You know what I mean? So it's cool that you take your own opportunity, and still are able to present your character and your motivations and whatnot through that means.
Most definitely. I mean, that's where you can kind of flesh out your character more in depth, actually. You know, obviously when you look at who this character, Mr. Spectrum, is, he's a Asian guy, but not much else is, you know, filled in. So you got to kind of make some guesswork. And like I said, you get a chance to actually just really flesh out your character. You know, not much else to say. Like, the one thing I would like to clarify, though, which I like about the group, is it's kind of like with Vince Austin, people would look at him and he's kind of like an older looking guy. But to me, he's like the leader of Viking Rage. And to me, he's kind of like that war general, the grizzled war general, you know, where Gunnar, he's like the power, like he's just the tank.
Yeah.
And then we got Dante, for those that are video game nerds, he's a bit of a glass cannon. He's like kind of like the prophet / wizard guy, you know. He definitely has his level of offense, but he can't take, you know, I'm not going to call him weak or frail, but I am going to say Gunnar could probably take a body slam better than Dante would, just because of the mere mass difference. So, you know, and Dante's crafty, man. He's crafty. So he gets his thing done, man. Somehow he gets his stuff done, but he's slick. He pulls stuff out of the bag, per se. You know, he's cool, but that's the dynamic that I love about this group. And then, of course, with the financial backing of Mr. Spectrum, you know, Viking Ridge can have all their focus on working out and training and beating people up and taking titles and pillaging and robbing in the ring, and not sweat the contractual stuff, you know?
See, so I think it's interesting that you said that's the dynamic, because I see the dynamic more as Mr. Spectrum is the leader of the situation and the kind of the brains of the operation. Because don't get me wrong, Vince Austin is definitely got a head on his shoulders and stuff, but like, homeboy's nuts. Like,
absolutely. That's why we brought in Dante to help.
If you want to talk about unstable loose cannons, like, Dante may be that, but like, you know, like, Vince Austin is 10 times. The
only way to understand is crazy is to be crazy, right? So that's kind of the group dynamic. Yeah, we all speak crazy. See, we're like, all insane.
I don't see Vince Austin as the kind of guy that goes into a match with a plan. I see him as the kind of guy that's tough enough to go into a match, start a fight, and win it every single time, you know?
Well, I mean, win at all cost, and like, proof's in the pudding, man. Like, he's willing to put his body on the line. He lost like a lot of his eyesight, and that's not a work, man. That was real, man. When all that blood started gushing into his eye when he had that match with the Taskmaster, that was real.
That was a war.
It was a war, but at the cost of his eye. Like, you want to talk about living your gimmick? Like, That's like so living the gimmick, man. He lost a lot of his vision, man.
It's true. I mean, like, sometimes I've ridden to the shows with the boys there, and I picked Vince up at his house, and he's rocking the eye patch when he comes out, you know, like the whole time. 'Cause,
yep.
And the fact that he's like able to compete, you know, with 50% of your peripheral vision just not there, you know, that's got to be difficult. Anyway, yeah, I was just saying that when he comes out of his house, Vince is always wearing that eye patch, and that it has to affect his ring work because it's, you know, that's got to limit 50% of his peripheral vision.
Absolutely.
But, like, when I say it's got to limit his ring work, it doesn't seem to have limited him at all. If anything, it's just driven him to be more, you know, dangerous.
Absolutely. I mean, seriously, at his age, and he's still bumping, you know, like,
and
man.
He just loves it. I'm a huge fan of Vince Austin, and I'm deathly afraid of him. That's the truth.
To really know the man, I mean, I guess at first appearance, the guy looks like a scurvy pirate and probably looks like he would, like, you know, he will fight you to the death, but he's actually a really kind, soft-spoken man, you know? Don't really know. I have only known Vince to be that way. Superhuman being.
We did touch on Dirty Ink, and I just wanted to get your feelings on some of the other managers that are in the scene here in Alberta. Like, not just, you know, Dirty Mike Jones from Dirty Ink, and I don't really think there's any other managers in RCW at the moment besides yourself and Mike Jones. But over in the PWA, they have Dr. Kyoto, Thaddeus Archer, I believe, what's that girl's name that does the managing over there? Katie?
I wouldn't know, man. I'm very familiar with our product. Like I said, I've only been in the industry for a year now. I haven't really gone to check out other promotions. So I am really unfamiliar. However, the name Thaddeus Archer obviously ring a bell. And of course, Dr. Kyoto, I really like him, actually. Every time I see him at a show, I always make a point of saying hello and shaking his hand, maybe catch up, have a beer with him. Super cool dude. It's good seeing, you know, but however, that being said, I don't think I could exist in the exact same realm with him. Just because, what do you need two Asian guys for? You know what I mean?
I hear.
So the gimmicks are completely different. It's just, what do you need two Asian guys for? You know?
So is Mike and Thaddeus and Dr. Kyoto and people like that, are those people you go to for advice or, you know, to talk shop about your...
I'm going to be real frank about this. The one thing that I always appreciated about the industry, or even like sometimes like I'll talk about the comedy aspect of things, is like when I hang out with other comedians, we don't always try to crack jokes on each other. We don't try to pop each other. What we do is we talk about, hey, guess what? I got this coupon from McDonald's, two can dine for $8.99. Or we talk about, man, I got these pair of shoes for like $20, man. We don't really talk about like how to make people laugh or anything like that. Like sometimes, not that it happens a lot, but it does happen periodically. It'd be like, you're hanging out during intermission with, you know, some of the boys or other comedians, and you might have finished doing your spot on the show, and you just want to have a cigarette, and you know, and somebody will approach you and go, hey, man, you know, that was great, but, or, you know, hey, I got this great joke and you can have it. It's like, geez, like, thanks, I appreciate it. But it's like, Can me and my friend continue having our smoke and talk about cars and hot girls? You know what I mean? Like, we kind of don't want to talk about how to make somebody laugh right now. In fact, okay. We might want to binge drink because we're a little depressed, you know?
Fair enough. One other thing I wanted to just touch on with you. I mean, there's a number of other things we can touch on. But
Mike Jones is awesome. I forgot. I completely got ADHD brain. I'm sorry. But I was privileged to hang out and ride in to a couple of shows with Dirty Mike and some of the Dirty Ink guys. And class acts all the way, man. Like, super rad dudes.
100%. So I was about to ask you, you had the experience to ring announce a show. How did you like that?
I really enjoyed it. However, all you're doing is playing a straight man. I mean, it's cool, but it's not as cool as, you know, getting punched in the face or pretending to choke a guy or raking his eyes or throwing powder in a guy's face or, you know. There's something about actually interactively being involved in the action.
Yeah, no, I totally understand where you're coming from there. So it's one of those things where you were happy to do it, but, like, it's not your ambition?
Well, what happened at that time was the best commentator at that time for RCW, he was in-ring performing. I mean, so obviously you can't have Kyle Shaw ring announce if he's working, you know?
I guess, fair enough. True that. I thought you did a good job. I thought you did fantastic. Is there any other roles, like you said, that you would perhaps like to get into? Like, you mentioned that you like the physicality and the interactions and stuff. Like, have you ever considered training and getting in the ring yourself?
I'm, like, probably about 15 years too far down my life's path. Obviously, I love it. I think it would be something that would have been fun. But I'm, like, 50 pounds overweight, 15 years too late to the dance. And I just, you know...
How old are you?
Just finished my... I'm in my 40s.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
So, you know, and I don't intend to be the next Diamond Dallas Page, you know, because I don't intend to live next to Squiggy and get thrown into a spot like the way DDP did with Bischoff, you know. but I am a massage therapist, and that's what kind of makes it cool, because I'll still be around the industry in a sense of, you know, if the guys ever get hurt after a match or have a nagging injury, I can always work on them, you know. That's what makes it kind of cool. And so, you know, once in a while taking a punch to the face or something like that, or taking a spill off the apron, that's good and fine, because it's like maybe you're doing it once or twice every 2 weeks, you know.
I hear you. You don't have any ambition to get in there and fight regularly.
No, I'd probably need to have a massage therapist for me so I can continue to be a massage therapist, you know? Well,
I can tell you that a massage therapist would be a handy thing to have around for sure.
Absolutely.
Oh, right.
Too old, too fat, and I'm too cheap to buy a mask.
Oh, I hear you.
And then I got to buy ring gear.
Yep. There's definitely a lot that goes into it. For sure. It's one of those things.
You know, and I'll be honest, like, sweating on top of another guy and then knowing that there's no place to shower after, that's kind of gross for me. I'm not going to lie. Like, it's gross.
The things we do for the love of the business, I guess.
Absolutely.
The things we smell in the car ride home, or at least the people around us do. Anyway, despite the fact that you don't have any actual, like, ambition to wrestle, you do have some combat training with martial arts and whatnot. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Well, I got a little bit. I mean, growing up, for one, my father was heavily into Kung Fu, Wing Chun in particular. So I have a Wing Chun background from my father. And then later on in life, I started trying to learn some jiu-jitsu and some Muay Thai. And when I got enrolled in school for massage therapy, little did I know, one of the guys that used to be an instructor for another club that I used to train at, he opened up his own place, and it was right in the same building as where my school is. So when I would finish class, I would go over there. So I'm going to give a little bit of plug. It's Cardinal MMA. It's in the northeast of Calgary, right in the same area with the Sportsplex. Amazing instructor, Brad Cardinal. He has held, you know, just about every single middleweight championship belt in Alberta as an MMA fighter. That being said, he's a class act, man. In real life, too, he is a caring teacher. He takes the time to talk to his students and just a really down-to-earth guy, has patience, will put the time in whether you're an aspiring fighter or just some guy with a dad bod that just wants to, like, get in a little bit better shape. I can't say enough about that club, you know, Cardinal MMA, Brad Cardinal, head instructor and owner, super cool dude. I strongly advise anybody who wants to learn, man, go check him out, because you won't find any better teacher with that kind of patience and tolerance. He's an amazing human being.
Right, not, and the rates are reasonable. You don't have to be a wealthy Asian man of influence to afford to attend the classes.
Not at all.
Right on. Okay, talk about your background in comedy a little bit, and tell us how that parallels to you what you've been doing in wrestling.
Just like any good invention, everything always happens by accident. So before I got into comedy, I was street performing, and I was spinning nunchucks. And when the Flames were in the playoffs, sometimes I would, like, you know, I would, you know, amaze, like, I would spin my chucks. And after a while, I was having some fun. I went through the proper channels to get the busking license and all that stuff. But cops kept giving me a hard time and shaking me down and kept giving me tickets every time, because apparently nunchaku, even though mine were foam, is defined as a prohibited weapon. So I remember this one day, this cop gave me another ticket, and I'm kind of like, come on, man. It's not like I'm doing anything bad. Like, I gave a homeless guy my sandwich. Like, I'm trying to make people smile and laugh. He's like, well, you better find something else to do. And I'm kind of like, well, why don't you try to be an EMT instead of a cop? And the guy got really mad at me. But, I mean, what he said to me was quite ludicrous. I mean, in the sense of, well, why don't you invest hundreds to thousands upon hours of learning how to do a craft and then just change gears just like that because you say so? So because of that, I ended up, a light bulb went off in my head, you know, for, hey, I like making people smile and laugh. So I saw that. Also, it was kind of funny. Another comedian that I look up to, or that I rather admire a lot, he's from Vancouver, British Columbia. He's also an actor. He was on a show called Riverdale on Netflix as, like, the cop, the, you know, the fat cop in Riverdale, okay. Byron Bertram. And he started out street performing. He told me to try comedy out. And truth of the matter is, he inspired me and motivated me in that direction. So I got into comedy because I was street performing, and then I got into wrestling because of comedy. But each time I got thrown into these different situations was because it was almost like as if I just couldn't get out of the way of it, but it worked out anyway. So it's pretty cool that way. And even with massage therapy, I'm working with people that have, like, busted up bodies. Well, ironically enough, this industry has enough broken up bodies that I can do something. So everything's working out in conjunction quite well.
Right on. What about some of the actual, like, performing parallels between comedy and wrestling? Like, how do you, if you're working a crowd in a comedy act, is it similar at all to working a crowd in a wrestling match?
Well, the thing is, I find with the comedy crowd that the audience really wants to treat you in a good way, like a baby face. What I mean by that is if you're like new in the industry, I find that they're rather forgiving because they're there because they want to encourage you and see you develop. And so they're more nurturing, where I find that the wrestling fans, you know, because they're smart to the business, they are more unforgiving. And they'll call you out for a botch, right, or something. So they sometimes I find that fans like playing heel. I mean, it's interesting. Sometimes, like I read a post a little while ago about some of the fan base, they cheer the heels and boo the baby faces. And, you know, I honestly think, like, you know, that's just kind of the dynamic of it. That's the nature of the beast. And all you can do about it is just do what you do because you love it, you know. Yeah.
I mean, those people are coming and they're paid their money and they want to be, I guess, a part of the show to a certain extent. And I think, like, they paid their money. They want to do what they want to do. That's fine. Fair play. But, like, I mean, if you're a heel, you don't be nice to them still. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
no, absolutely. I remember whipping a Twizzler at a guy who offered it to me on one of my first nights. He gave me a Twizzler and I took it and then I threw it at his chest.
Have you ever worked as a babyface?
How could I? I mean, seriously, Dick, I can't really honestly see how a manager can be a babyface unless you're a valet. I mean, you know, if I wear a choker to hide my Adam's apple and shave my legs, I guess I could. I don't know.
Right on. Well, we've been going for a while, and I don't want to take up way too much of your time, so I guess I will just leave it to you to give us any of your final thoughts, anybody you want to put over or whatnot, any upcoming shows you want to plug. Now's your time, bud.
You know what? I'm just going to say keep supporting local wrestling. Obviously, I'm part of RCW. Looking forward to more events as the summer comes. The card's always packed full of local talent, or, you know, the RCW roster is laden rich with talent, not just because they can work in the ring, but I've rode up and down the roads with some of them, you know, whether it be the Viking Rage Boys or Dirty Inc. Like, I mean, East meets West one day, Mike Jones. It's inevitable. I got to tell you, Mike Jones, I love you. But clearly our paths will have to cross and our factions will have to cross swords. And I'm kind of looking forward to that, excited about that. It's all about just interacting with people, meeting great people, having fun in the process. And if you stop loving it, then that's when you got to get out. I do thank you for your time. Always loved your ring announcing. I will state that very adamantly. Always loved your announcing, Kyle. So thank you for letting me on your show.
Hey, man. No, thank you. And thanks for coming on the show. I really appreciate that. It's been awesome chatting with you and, you know, becoming friends with you and whatnot.
Awesome. I'll talk to you next time, brother.
Okie dokie, bud. That's Mr. Spectrum. You can catch him at all the upcoming RCW shows. And they pretty much have shows going on every weekend around Alberta now. So. Follow the Real Canadian Wrestling fan page on Facebook, and you'll learn more about that and more about Mr. Spectrum. You can also follow Viking Rage on Facebook, and there'll be even more details about him there. So thank you, everybody. Thank you, Mr. Spectrum, and we will see you guys next time.
Just take a little piece of BEI and old Saskatchewan, Nova Scotia and New Brunswick, Quebec and Newfoundland, Alberta and Manitoba, Ontario and BC, and you'll have found the stomping grounds of all my friends and me.